We're glad you're here. We have a full house this morning, and we have a lot of guests and visitors, and we're glad you're here. Some of our folks are away from us already. Spring break in this county has started, and so some are traveling, and so we want to remember them certainly in our prayers and hope that they'll have a good visit wherever they are, a good time while they're away from us today. Our granddaughter Callie is with us. She is our oldest of the five. And she's kind of got a quick wit. We were sitting at the table last night, and we were talking, and I made the observation that, sometimes I'm a little crazy. She said, "No, Biba, you're not crazy. You're a limited edition." A limited edition. Yes. So, I just gave all of y'all even more ammunition. Well, it's spring, headed here in the end of March, and we all know here in Middle Tennessee what that means. Spring means the flowers all bloom, the trees blossom all over the place, beautiful. The grass grows, it's greening up. It's a gorgeous time. Except one little boy said, "Well, I get the allergics in spring." Well, I do too. A lot of us get the allergies. It's a time of the year in which the weather just flip-flops. I mean, you can have a day when you kick on the air conditioner. You can have a day when you have to kick on the heat. You can have a day in which you have to kick on the air conditioner and the heat all in the same day. Because that's the part of the country we live in. What's the old saying? If you don't like the weather around here, wait around 30 minutes because it'll change. That's true. But every year, in the months especially of March and April and May, we know to kind of keep an eye to the sky because it's tornado season. And we understand that sometimes the weather service will issue a tornado watch. And we understand that what that means is conditions are favorable for the development of such a storm. And then there are some times when the Weather Service issues a tornado warning, which means that a tornado has been spotted either in person or on radar somewhere in Rutherford County. And so they issue a tornado warning. Back in November of 2016, it was the very first day that we were with Leah and Alexander and Christopher, and we're walking the streets of Provitz, Bulgaria. And we had our facilitator translator with us, and Alex was saying something. He was rattling off something in Bulgarian. And I said to Maggie, I said, what's he saying? And he says that my friends say if I come to America, I will be killed by a tornado. And so we told Maggie to translate back to him that that we'll make sure he's taken care of and that we've survived all these years and he will too. And then he said something back in Bulgarian, and I said, "What did he say?" And she said, "He said, I think my friends are just trying to scare me." But at the same time, it's something you take very seriously. I was in North Alabama on Friday in Limestone County and had Christopher in the car with me, and we turned the corner. We're in the country. We're heading to Athens. And we turned the corner, and all of a sudden, there was just total devastation. And you've seen that in the aftermath of a storm. You're driving along and everything's fine, and then suddenly there's this path of a storm and the trees are uprooted and snapped off like toothpicks. Roofs are off houses. Garages are flattened. And then you go just a few feet more and the next door neighbor's house is untouched. It's an amazing phenomenon. Meteorologists tell us that tornadoes form when the atmospheric conditions are just right. And I thought about that yesterday. But I thought about this lesson and I thought, you know, the same thing is true when it comes to temptation. It's the same thing. There are certain times in life when the conditions are just right. When the circumstances, sometimes in which we put ourselves in, increase the vulnerability that we have to temptation. And so as a result, the atmospheric conditions of your life warrant a temptation watch. For example, when you begin to associate with people who do not have your morals and do not have your values and do not care about God, or you pull away from the support system of your brethren, absenting yourself from the assembly, or maybe there's times in your life of major loss, whether it is a death, a divorce, unemployment, sickness, any number of things. Maybe it is a time of your life of physical distress, maybe emotional distress, whatever the case may be. When those kinds of atmospheric conditions occur, your temptation vulnerability increases. And your conscience issues you a temptation watch, which says the conditions of your life right now are favorable for a fall. In Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 38, notice what Jesus said to His men. He said unto them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me." And He went a little beyond them and fell on His face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, not as I will, but as You will." And He came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "So you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." How many times does Scripture issue an alert like that? How many times do the Scriptures tell us to watch? Or maybe they'll use the phrase, "Be on the alert." Why? Because 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12 says, "Let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall." Nobody's immune from temptation. Nobody. None of us are immune from weaknesses of the flesh. Nobody here is above sin. 1 John 1 and verse 8 says, "If we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves. We're tricking ourselves," he says. So as long as we pretend that temptation is not a problem, that somehow, you know, I'm above it, we will continue to place ourselves in situations where it becomes at times almost impossible to resist or escape. Proverbs 16 and verse 18 says, "Pride goes before a fall." But the problem is we wait until it's too late to heed the watch of temptation. So look at your notes. I tell you, the first thing we have to do, we have to develop an early warning system. You know, over in Luke chapter 22, Jesus put Peter on a temptation watch. A temptation watch. In Luke 22 and verse 31, He says, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked permission to sift you like wheat." Jesus knew that the atmospheric conditions of His life were creating the perfect storm. Jesus was arrested. And Peter and the others are disillusioned. How can this possibly happen to Messiah? How can this occur? And then everybody fled. And even though Peter had promised that he never would, "All of these others may desert you, I never will," he said. Peter was long gone too. He's physically exhausted. He's emotionally exhausted. And then as he sits in the courtyard of the high priest, he finds himself surrounded by the enemies of Jesus. And you talk about peer pressure. But that's what Jesus had told him was going to happen. He better had watched what's going to occur. Watch. Because Jesus knew that the atmospheric conditions were just perfect for the storm that was encircling him. It's the same with us. And sometimes the temptation watch becomes the temptation warning. Warning. Nobody likes to be caught unaware in a storm. And when it comes to physical storms, we live in a time in which nobody should be caught unaware. Because given the advances in meteorology and scientific research and all of that and forecasting, there's no need for that. But it's the same spiritually. There's no need for you or for me to be caught unaware when temptation strikes. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. It's not like there's some new temptation out here that's going to catch you unaware. And it's not like a tornado is going to drop out of a clear blue sky. That doesn't happen. Before a tornado, there is a watch. The skies begin to look rather ominous. You get an eerie sensation. You get an eerie feeling that something isn't right. Maybe you can't put your finger on it, but you know. And when it comes to temptation, it's the same thing. God has given to us an early warning system. It is your conscience. And when the sirens start going off in your head, you need to listen. Now, we don't sometimes. We ignore the warnings. We rationalize our conscience. And we tell ourselves, well, maybe I'm just overreacting. Or maybe it's not that big a deal. Or we convince ourselves, I'm strong. I can handle this. And we do that all the time, to our peril. It reminds me of the little boy who asked his mother, what is a conscience? What is a conscience? And his mother said, well, a conscience is a little voice inside your head that warns you when you're about to do something bad. So that night, the little boy was saying his prayers, and he prayed, quote, Dear God, make my little voice loud. And that's the way the conscience ought to be. It ought to be loud. How many people could be saved from the devastation of a tornado if only they had listened to the weather warning? How many could be saved from the devastation of temptation if only they had heeded the conscience warning? But just listening to your conscience is not enough. You have to seek shelter. The point is, the time to prepare for the storm is before you get in one. I don't know what you do around your house when they issue a tornado warning and the wind picks up and you can tell that the storm is coming. I mean, we start pulling in patio furniture and cramming cars in the garage and telling kids, okay, this is what we're going to do or this is where we're going to go, etc. As somebody said, only a fool would dig a storm cellar in the middle of a tornado. It's too late. And the same thing is true with temptation. If you wait until you're in the middle of the temptation storm, it's too late. The time to set your moral standard is in advance. Before you get in the throes of the swirling wind of temptation, before the driving rain of peer pressure, before you're dodging the hail of ridicule, is to make your plans in advance. I think of Joseph in the Old Testament and Mrs. Potiphar. I mean, you talk about a temptation watch, and with Joseph, the temptation watch became the temptation warning. And at last, he did the only thing he could do. He fled. He had to get out of there. On May the 28th, 1997, Larry Four was the manager of the Albertsons grocery store in Austin, Texas. Shoppers watched with hypnotic fascination as a huge, huge twister approached. Suddenly there was a voice on the intercom. It said, "Do not leave this store or you will die. Your only chance of survival is to do exactly what I tell you to do." Larry hustled all of his customers into the reinforced meat locker in the back of the store, and everybody did exactly as Larry said. In a matter of seconds, that store took a direct hit and literally exploded. Not a single life was lost, thanks to one man's quick thinking and planning. There were no fatalities. What's interesting about that story is maybe that's because Larry Four was a tornado survivor himself previously. Larry Four survived the 1979 massive tornado that hit Wichita Falls, Texas, in which 53 people were killed and 2,000 people were injured. He took it seriously. But here's the deal. When the tornado of temptation sweeps down on you or me, we have somebody a lot better than Larry Four. We have somebody in our corner who knows just exactly what to do. Why? Because he's been through the storms before. He survived the greatest onslaught of temptation storm there has ever been. He conquered the perfect storm. Satan threw everything at him. And he withstood. And as a result, in Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 15, he says, "We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin." Well, what does that do for us? "Therefore," verse 16, "let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need." He's been through it before, and He lives to help us get through it as well. So let me leave you with these three things. When the tornado of temptation is bearing down on you, you have to seek shelter. You have to seek shelter. And how do you do that? Number one, you put the Word of God in your heart. You put the Word in your heart. In the 119th Psalm, in Psalm 119 and verse 9, he says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word." Verse 11, "Your word I've treasured in my heart." What does that do for you? "That I may not sin against you." If you want to know why temptation is such a struggle for you, why that you tend to give in way too easily, then look no further than your daily devotional life. Do you spend any time in the Scriptures? Do you pick up the Bible during the day and read, or do you just kind of ignore it? Do you hide it in your heart? "Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you." Put the word in your heart. Secondly, pray without ceasing. You see, Jesus didn't just tell the 12, "Well, just sit here and watch." He said, "I want you to sit here and watch and pray." Why? Because prayer shields us from temptation. How? Because it helps to get our eyes off of the temptation and on to God. Satan is a liar. Satan is going to convince you. He's going to do everything he can to convince you that giving in is going to be fun. And it is for a second. And then, like the hook catches the fish, it leaves you reeling. It leaves you reeling on the end of his line. And Satan ends up laughing that you fell for it all over again. Put the word in your heart. pray without ceasing, and get with God's people. The worst thing that we can do when the twister of temptation bears down upon us is to try to outrun it by ourselves. Seek shelter. Get with people who've been through storms before and who know what to do and who can help you survive. Get with God's people. There's going to be times in our lives in which our conscience is going to issue us a temptation watch. And there will be times in our lives when our conscience is going to issue us a temptation warning. So know the meaning of each and take it seriously. How? Develop an early warning system. It's called your conscience. Seek shelter. How? By putting the Word of God in your heart. By praying without ceasing. And by staying close to God's people. Temptation watch. Temptation warning. If you're not a Christian, we sing the song of invitation this morning and we plead with you to obey the gospel. Give your life to the one who gave his life for you. Can we help you this morning? And can we assist you? You can be baptized for the remission of your sins. You can be cleansed from your past. That doesn't mean that everything from this point on is going to be easy and that every day is just going to be a perfect blue sky day. There'll be storms. There'll be hardship. There'll be difficulties. But you won't have to go through the storm alone. The one who has survived all the storms can help you get through yours. And if we can help you this morning, we'd be glad to do so. Won't you come while we stand and sing?